Awesome. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Turn with me there. I ask you, church family, bear with me. I am suffering a little bit of a cough, and so going through that right now. Hopefully it won't be as much as a bother. But turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Now, this book is one of my favorite books. It helped me a lot navigating through life and getting wisdom as a young Christian. And Proverbs just has like a special place in my heart. And it is a book about wisdom. It's a book that gives you ways on how to navigate life, on how to, you know, look at certain situations and get some wisdom out of it, how to look at certain situations and have discretion on how to handle it or get out of it. And Proverbs is just a book that is so useful for everyone. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. You might be a new Christian who has questions, or you might be a veteran Christian who's lived in church your entire life. You will still get something from the book of Proverbs. And so let me just give you some background. You know, look at there, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel." This book is written, most of it is written by Solomon. And we all know who Solomon was. If you don't, Solomon was a man who asked God for a heart of understanding. He asked God, "Lord, give me a heart of understanding. Give me wisdom. Give me the knowledge, the logic to understand everything and to solve problems." And God gave him that. And Solomon became the wisest man on earth. Kings from different kingdoms would come to him and ask him for his counsel, ask him for his advice on all kinds of matters. And he was one of the wisest men on earth. He writes the book of Proverbs. Now, Proverbs isn't your usual book. It's very odd. It's very different. It's structured in poetry. That's its structure. It's not like a book that says, oh, the red cat went to the barn. The barn was big and blue. You know, it's not like that. It's poetic. It's very poetic, and it has a language that's very different, very unique, and it's made to stick out to you. I mean, it makes you remember it. It makes you like, oh, that's a proverb. And we've all heard some, you know, worldly or non-biblical proverbs like, the first step to a thousand-mile journey begins with one step. You know, something weird like that, right? And it's very, very compact, very short, and it conveys a lot of information in just a short sentence. And so let me go ahead and explain just like some of the common types of sentence structures Proverbs has. And one of those is parallelism. It takes two things and it makes them right next to each other, and it compares them, or it shows you how similar they are, right? For example, Proverbs 16, verse 13. It says, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings." That's the first part. And it parallels it to, "And they love him that speaketh right." So it has an A and it has a B, right? A, it says, "Righteous lips are the delight of kings." And B, "They love him that speaketh right." So righteous lips are the delight of kings. Kings enjoy and they love, you know, righteous lips. Now B, what it does is it amplifies it. It defines it. It narrows it down. It continues the story, right? And it says, "And they love him that speaketh right." Well, what does righteous lips even mean? Well, it means that they love him, they enjoy him that speaketh right. Someone who tells the truth, someone who is honest, right? Continue on, Proverbs 25, verses 4 and 5. This one, it has like a double parallel. "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." That's A, right? You take away the impurities, and you refine the silver, and it shall become a vessel for the finer. Verse 5, "Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness." So it compares the dross and the impurities and the unrefined material, taking that out from silver so that silver can become refined, it can become something beautiful, and it parallels it to a king. He's trying to rule his kingdom, he's trying to do right, but there's wickedness. He has subjects who are duplicit. Subjects who are wicked, subjects who are secretly against them. If you remove that, remove those subjects who are trying to sabotage him, his kingdom will be established. His kingdoms will be right. And Proverbs has these weird parallelisms, weird structures, because it forces us to read slowly. It forces us to think about it. It forces us to think about, what does that mean? How does the second part contribute to the first part? It makes us think. Now, if you've read Proverbs, we've probably looked at those parallelisms and we think, oh, it's just repeating the same thing. It's not. It's trying to show you a purpose. It's trying to show you a message. There's another one. It also has parallelisms, that's a hard word, of opposites. This one, it makes you focus on the differences. It's super obvious, right? Proverbs 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh down with her hands. It compares them. Verse 2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. It shows two different things. Verse 3, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. You know, it's basic observations. You know, of course, that makes sense. But in the book of Proverbs, it makes, you know, it doesn't say, but it makes it obvious which side and which option we should be doing. It encourages us to be a certain side. Every wise woman, what does she do? Builds her house. But a foolish one plucketh down with her hands. Right? He that walketh in uprightness feareth the Lord. That's what he does. But someone who is perverse in his ways hates him. And it makes this split. It makes this difference. And it puts them right next to each other to make it obvious. Right? They're intentionally trying to make it simple and clear between the two choices we have to make in life. Either we choose something that's wise, or we choose something that's foolish. We do something that's good, or we do something that's bad. Proverbs makes it very clear through that. It also has better than phrases. It will say in Proverbs 15, verse 16, it says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. What it's saying is that it's better to have little. It's better to not have so much affluence, so much wealth, if you have a fear and love and respect for God, than it is to be so rich and so wealthy that you have no care, no regard for God at all. And so, and Proverbs says it's better to have a dinner of herbs, something that's not that elegant or that satisfying, if you have love in your home, where you guys love each other and you get along, than it is to have the fanciest dinner, stalled ox or wagyu or anything good that you guys want to think of, and have bitterness with the person you're sitting across to. And Proverbs, it does this because it instructs us on our priorities. It teaches us, hey, your values should be different. This is better, even though we might not think it at first, than that. It teaches us what is important. And another one is imagery. Man, imagery is very good in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:22, it says, as a jewel of gold in the swine's snout, in the pig's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Right? And imagery, man, it catches our attention. Like, whoa, a gold jewel in the pig's snout being compared to a woman? Whoa, what is... You know, it catches our attention and forces us to find what's the connection between A and B, right? Well, jewels, man, they're very pretty. They're used to adorn women. It's used to, you know, make you guys even more pretty, or make you guys, you know, it's decoration. It's to make you pretty, right? That's what jewels are for. Yet, pigs, they are revolting. They're smelly. They're gross. They're totally unrefined. And so putting a gold ring on the pig doesn't make it any less gross. Putting a gold ring on the pig doesn't make it less smelly or less nasty or less of a pig. It's still a pig. And so that connects it to B, a woman's appearance, how beautiful she might look, how elegant she might appear, does not make up for her crass and her rude and vulgar behavior. A woman's appearance is wasted on a personality like that. And Proverbs is trying to say that physical appearance is not all that. Physical appearance is not what's important. It's not as important as a woman having discretion and wisdom and being able to carry herself properly. Yes. That's more important. And so Proverbs has a lot of that. And the structure of it is to make us think and meditate upon it. Proverbs didn't just say physical beauty is not as important. No, instead it paints this image. It compares it with something else. It contrasts it with something else. It has poetic language. the book of Proverbs is not something we get to just skim over. This is a book that requires reading and thought. So we're going to go and I'm going to explain to you guys the purpose of Proverbs throughout the verses and the first nine verses of chapter one. And just really quickly, you know, one, it's supposed to give us wisdom, right? And not just knowledge either. Not just facts, not just intellect, or not just trivia. Because Proverbs, it doesn't just give out like, oh, this is that, this is this. No, it gives us wisdom. It teaches us how to think. It changes our heart. It changes our disposition. Because, you know, in Proverbs 6, it talks about ants. You know, ants are not knowledgeable. Ants, it doesn't give us crazy ant facts. No, instead, it tells us, look at the ant. Verse 6 of chapter 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Proverbs doesn't go around and say, consider the ant. It has this. It has the strength of 10 times its body weight. It doesn't do that. Instead, it says, look at it. Look at how they live and learn from them. Right? We think that, you know, it's very popular with young athletes. They say, oh, I'm hardworking. I'm very diligent. I wake up at 5 a.m. I go to practice. Then I go to school. And then I practice again late at night or right after school until the nighttime. And then I do my homework and then I go to bed. And they think that they're hardworking, but look at what the Bible says. It says, go to the ant, consider her ways, thou sluggard, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. He's saying these ants, they're hardworking. They're diligent because even though they don't have a coach that's on them telling them, be here at 5 a.m., even though they don't have a teacher that says, do your homework so you can learn, these ants, they still go out and they still work. They still go out and they get their food. No one's telling them. They don't have a coach. They don't have a teacher. They don't have a boss ant telling them what to do. They just go out and do it. And so Proverbs is saying diligence isn't just the amount of work you do. It's rather your character. Do you do your work when no one's on you? When no one's behind you telling you to do it? Are you diligent in that way? You know, it gives us wisdom. And not only that, it gives us wisdom to live and think righteously. It changes our priorities, changes our values, our ethics, and it gives reason to our actions and understanding. So look at it with me in verse 2. All right, we know this is the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And he kind of gives us what the purpose of Proverbs is. Verse 2, it says, to receive the instruction of wisdom, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, right? It says Proverbs is used to give us wisdom and teach us how to recognize what is good wisdom, right? To know what wisdom is and instruction, to perceive, to tell, like, oh, those are words of understanding. Because you guys know that there are wisdom that is not good for us. There's knowledge that is not good for us. Many of us here tonight have wisdom or things that we know we wish we could forget. We have experiences, man, I wish I don't know what that feels like. I wish I never went through that. Right? We all have wisdom. We all have knowledge and experience of things we wish we didn't know. But Proverbs says it's not going to teach you about that. Instead, it's going to teach you good wisdom. It's going to teach you how to find and tell what is good wisdom. Look at verse 3. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. You know, it's going to teach us to take and apply the wisdom we have been given to make right decisions, justice, equity, judgment. Proverbs puts wisdom and righteousness hand in hand. You know, to do what is right is wise, and to be wise is to do what is right. It goes hand in hand together. To have proper sense of what is right and what is fair, to make insightful judgments. That is what Proverbs teaches us to do. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. It tells us what is right and what to do. Now look at verse 4. Verse 4 shows us who it's for. It says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Right? It's also good for those who are simple. Right? Those who simply just don't know. They're ignorant. They don't know any better. And that's totally fine. That's understandable. Like I said, you might be a new Christian. You might be new to this Christian way of living. You might be new to reading your Bible. Proverbs is a great place to start. You want to know how to live wisely? You want to know how to live according to the principles of God? How God wants you to navigate life? Proverbs is the place to go. You might be just young. Honestly, you might just be young. You need help figuring out what to do next. You need help figuring out how to go about living life. Proverbs is a great place to go. And so Solomon, he kind of gives us like an intro, like this is what Proverbs is for. It's to give you wisdom. It's to give you the ability to know that's not good, that's not right, that is good, that is what I want to do. And it gives us wisdom to go and do those things. And so let's look at our first Proverbs that we get from the book of Proverbs. Verse 5. This is a parallelism. Check it out. It says, a wise man, this is part A, a wise man will hear and increase in learning. B, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Right? So B continues the message of A and defines it. It clarifies it. So A says, someone who hears and increases in learning is wise. So someone who does this, someone who accomplishes this, they're wise. Notice how what this man does is what makes him wise. It's not what he learns. Proverbs say wisdom doesn't come from just learning or knowing things. It's what you do with it. It's doing what's right. So he says someone who hears and actually increases in learning, they're a wise man. Well, how they're living is wise. But look at B. He goes on. He continues the message. Verse 5, it says, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. So A says, someone who hears, someone who gets wisdom and learns, wise man. But B goes on and it says, but someone who understands, someone who knows better, tends to look, search for more wisdom, right? Bring that in the context of school. Many of us, or most of us here, have graduated, right? But during school time, anyone can practice the first part of verse 5. Anyone can sit there. Anyone can listen and learn. Good. You're paying attention to school. That's a good thing. Wise. But most of us, as soon as we graduate, we fall off and we fail to do the second part of verse 5. We fail to continue seeking wisdom. We fail to continue asking those for help. We stop actively trying to learn new things that isn't fed to us, that isn't someone just giving it and sharing it to us. We are great at part A. I mean, that's what school is for. But when part B comes around, we fail to teach ourselves. Because part B requires initiative. Part B requires discipline. It requires us to go out and learn more things. See, A still applies, right? Someone who hears and increases in learning, wise, good. But part B takes it a step further. But someone who goes out, finds wisdom, and learns more, and actively attains more wisdom and knowledge, that's wise. That's better. See, we have to apply Proverbs. I mean, we look at that. If you read verse 5 by itself, oh, yeah, okay, so, you know, someone who's smart, of course, they'll listen, they'll pay attention. And someone who is understanding, they'll listen, right? And we'll just brush off it really quickly. But that's not how Proverbs is. We can't just take Proverbs at its face value. We have to apply it to our life and our context. I mean, think about it. Compare how much you used to read in school versus how much you read now. What kind of readings do we do now compared to what we did in school? I mean, you might be reading, but are you learning anything from it? Or are you just entertaining yourself? Are we learning any active skills outside of school? Are we reading and learning from the Bible ourselves other than during church service? And who are we learning from? Who are these people that we're listening to? What kind of podcasts or what kind of YouTube videos are we watching? We can sit down and get information and get knowledge, but who are we going to for that? See, the book of Proverbs gives us a mindset. Book of Proverbs gives us a disposition rather than actual facts. And look at it. Verse 5 continues on to verse 6. It tells us how we're going to get the most out of Proverbs. It tells us how we're going to get the most out of anything we study. It says, someone who is wise will hear an increase in learning. Good. But a man of understanding, someone who completely understands what they're learning and what they're trying to achieve, will attain unto wise counsel, will ask people for help, will go and continue to learn. Why? Verse 6. To understand the proverb and the interpretation. the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Now, don't be scared. Dark sayings just means like confusing or you don't know what it means yet. So the result of actively looking for things is that you get to understand what you're trying to understand. Wise people will attain wise counsel and continue to learn to understand how it applies in its context. How the Proverbs we read, how does that apply in this current time? How does it apply to our context? How does it, because we're not Solomon's son, we're not kings, but it still applies to us. And it also tells us how we're supposed to know, what we're supposed to do about it. Ask people. I come across Proverbs I don't understand. And I always ask pastor. I always ask my friends. And they help me. They give me wisdom to it. I ask Brother Anderson all the time. Tell him. He almost blocked me. But we go and Proverbs says, you go and you ask for wisdom, right? I mean, Jesus, he spoke in riddles. He spoke in parables to make people meditate upon it, to make people think about it. And he's not just doing this to confuse them. No, he often, all the time, he always had a point. And that point was directed to his audience. But guess what? His disciples, they didn't even understand it. So guess what they did? They asked him for help. Then Jesus explained it to them. So when you read Proverbs, when you go through it, you're going to find a lot of confusing or maybe even basic, simple Proverbs. I encourage you to dig deeper. Find what it means. Find how does it apply to you. How can you act upon that? Pray and ask for understanding. The Bible is making a point. Trust me, it's not just saying poetic things or trying to make you feel bad or pointing out simple facts. It's trying to make a point about your life, about my life. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 is beautiful. Proverbs continues to tell us the proper basis of our wisdom, the source of our wisdom, where it should come from. And this one is a parallelism of opposites. It's going to say one thing, it's going to contrast it with another. So look at part A. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's part A. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Part B, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's look at part A. It talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord should be the basis of our wisdom. It should be the basis of our logic, our thinking. It's the source. It should be the stem. It should be the progenitor of all of our reasonings. It's where all of it should come from. It's like the ruler, right? Rulers, they have to start off right. If your inch, at the beginning of your ruler, if it's off, but like half an inch, the rest of your ruler is wrong. If your ruler at the very beginning is off by 2 inches, everything else that comes after it is wrong. And so Proverbs is saying, if you want to start building your wisdom, if you want to start thinking right and you want to start living right, you got to start with the fear of the Lord. If you want wisdom, start by having the fear of God. Because we all know that there is wisdom that is sinful. There is wisdom that is self-centered and selfish, and that's what the world preaches. That's what the world talks about. Live for yourself. Preach your own truth. Follow your heart. That's selfish. That's self-centered. Right? We have, you know, those, if you talk to people who love money and you ask them their brain, you ask for their wisdom, they'll tell you, oh, never be satisfied. One more dollar. That's greed. They don't care about poor people. They don't care about anything. All they care about is money, money, money. That's their wisdom. Their wisdom is based off their greed. Right? There's those who enjoy and adore comfort. Man. They're willing to lay down their dignity. They're willing to be lazy just so that they're comfortable and that they're convenient. That's their wisdom, right? Those who are proud, very prideful, man, when they think, they say, oh, I'm not wrong. Everyone else is. That's their wisdom. They look at it like, you can't say that to me. You don't have the right. That's how they think. But Proverbs said, if you want proper wisdom, if you want good biblical wisdom, you have to start with the fear of the Lord. And look at it. It parallels it to part B. But fools. I'm sorry, I just lost it. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They hate it, right? And so it implies that fools, man, they have no fear of the Lord in them. They don't even consider him in their reasoning. They don't even think about what God thinks about what they're doing or how they're living. They don't care. They just live how they want to. And they don't want to listen if they're being corrected. They like what they're doing. They reject wisdom, and often they pride themselves in doing so. They continue to live how they want to. And so, church family, do we go through life and make decisions based off of the fear of the Lord and His commandments and His word? Or do we just go around doing what we want to do because we want to do it? Is it because we do it because it's convenient? We do it because that's what the rest of the world does? See, we have to make sure that the way we think, the way we justify our actions, the way we get to a decision is based off the fear of God, is based off the Bible, and not anything else. Our motivations, our methods, it ought to be in line with God. Think, I'm doing this. Is God okay with that? I'm doing this because of this. Is God okay with that? What does He think? What does He think? And how do we react? How do we act when people correct us or when God convicts us? Do we buckle down in defiance like, no, no, you don't get to tell me what to do. No, you're just saying that. That doesn't make sense. Do we try to justify ourselves with petty excuses like, oh, yeah, I get it, but my context is different. You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand, right? But Proverbs, man, it shows us that what we do is what determines if we're wise or not. And so when we get corrected, when we get corrected or we get advice or we get convicted by God Himself, do we bow down in humility and change and be made wise? Or do we stand proud as fools and say, no, no? But look at it. Solomon, he goes on. He connects verse 7 to verse 8 and 9. And this one is imagery. His imagery. Look at it with me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so he tells his son, verse 8, therefore my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be, speaking about the dad or the mom, but rather they, speaking about the instruction and the law that the mom gives, they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Solomon is saying that the wisdom, the instruction, the help, the correction your parents give you adorns you. He's saying, my son, we're telling you these things to help you out. The wisdom, the correction we give you, it adorns you. It makes you look good. Being able to receive wisdom glorifies the person who does so. Think about it like this. Graduation, right? We've all graduated or we've seen graduation ceremonies, and everyone has those robes, right? But every now and then we see someone, man, they have gold regalia. They have all these other different kinds of cords. They have all these different kinds of pins. What is that? That's adornment. They're being ornamented. They're being decorated. They're being glorified. Why? Because they accomplish such things. So Solomon is saying the wisdom we give you, it's not a bad thing. The correction we give you, the advice we give you, it's to help you out. It's a cord. It's a good thing. It glorifies you. To hear and receive wisdom of those who come before you is a blessed thing. But now, young people, our culture is not like that. Quite the opposite, actually. Our culture nowadays looks at progress and defines it as overthrowing and ripping out archaic or old principles that our previous generation made. They didn't know any better. We do, so we're going to rip everything up, right? And social ethics, man. Like feminism, oh, guys, and toxic masculinity, oh, men shouldn't be hard and strong anymore. Instead, you guys should be more sensitive. And women should do this and should do that and should be more in charge. And they are against everything. Down with the patriarchy, right? And about moral standards, man. We don't even know, you know, what gender is what anymore. We don't even, you know, define marriage by the Bible anymore. We're just against every little thing that was before us. That's how our generation is right now. Now, granted, not everything back then was perfect. But those who have gone through it and gives us wisdom, that's a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing. So Solomon is saying, my son, hear the instruction, listen to it of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament. It's a good thing. Son, we're trying to help you. We're trying to set you up for success. of grace and upon thy head and chains about thy neck. It's a good thing. Proverbs charges us to be open for correction and instruction from others, whether it be our parents, whether it be our friends, whether it be our spiritual authority, whether it be anyone else. Proverbs says, welcome wisdom, welcome correction, welcome advice, right? Our flesh, man, our flesh looks at getting corrected. Our flesh looks at getting instructed as something that is shameful and humiliating. It's embarrassing, right? So sometimes that leads to hardness. I'm not going to listen to that. I refuse to learn. I'm not going to hear from that person of all people, right? Our flesh looks at it as something humiliating. There was one time I was younger. I didn't know how to say the word foliage. I say it foliage, right? And so I'm thinking I'm all fancy, right? Oh, it has a lot of foliage. And Josiah Racinos, just a young twerp back then, corrects me and goes, actually, it's foliage. And my pride was like, I know Joe isn't correcting me right now. But I looked it up and he was right. If I refused to listen to him, I would have been saying foliage and been incorrect. I just found out I've been saying Matt wrong, M-A-T-T-E. I thought it was Mate. I don't know why. I thought like, oh, a car passed by and I told Eddie, look, it's a Mate black car. And he said, what did you say? And he goes and proceeds to correct me, not lovingly, of course. But either way, if I refused to listen to him, I would have been saying Mate all this time and been incorrect. You see, our flesh, man, our flesh glorifies that behavior of refusing to listen to people, of refusing to listen to knowledge because we're independent. We're self-made. We're capable, right? And our pride doesn't like that. Our pride doesn't like being corrected. Our pride doesn't like being given instruction. You see, the same thing that prevents a child from listening to their parents when they're in trouble is the same thing that prevents us from listening to others. It's pride. It's pride. We hate being corrected. That's just who we are. But look at what Solomon says. He says, forsake not, don't leave it behind, don't abandon it, the law of thy mother. Wisdom is still wisdom. Instruction is still instruction, right? No matter how old it gets, it doesn't become irrelevant. It's still true. I mean, this Bible is super old, but yet the truth that it speaks, the wisdom that it still gives is still relevant. All the principles we've learned about humility, that still applies. Doesn't matter how old or how experience we get in Christianity. Principles about diligence and working hard, that still applies. Honesty, purity, and holiness, that still applies. It doesn't matter how long we've been in church. And so I challenge you, church family, to read the book of Proverbs and to get wisdom. It's a beautiful book. I challenge you to, when you read Proverbs, read it slowly. Let it sink in. Have a humble heart when you read it, because the Lord will start pointing stuff out. And he's not going to point stuff out that you're interested in or stuff that's obvious. He will start pointing stuff out that he wants to point out. He's going to say, oh, Josh, I want you to work on this. Oh, I need you to work on that. And we're not going to like it, right? If God points to our blind spot, or if any of our friends points to our blind spot that need work help, that we need help working on, we don't enjoy it. It's a blind spot for a reason. We think we're okay. We think we're doing fine. And all of a sudden, it's like, actually, no, you're a little messed up here. And we hate that. We're like, oh. So I encourage you to have a humble heart, to be ready to be corrected when you go through the book of Proverbs or when you read your Bible. And God says, you see that? This is what I want you to be doing. You see this? That's how I want you to be. I encourage you to have a ready heart to be corrected, to change, and to work and to meditate on the book of Proverbs, to receive the wisdom that you've begun, because you can be told what to do. I mean, I remember when I had school, I would teach Ezra all the time, Ezra, 5 + 5 = 10. And every time he would say 9. I was like, Ezra, I literally just told you 5 + 5 = 10. He heard it, he got the wisdom. I told him 5 + 5 = 10, but he refused to change. Eventually he did, he's a good kid. But as we read Proverbs and as we read the Bible, receive that. You might hear it. You might understand it. Even the Holy Spirit will say, you know that's right. But let us be humble and be willing to receive and hear the things that the Bible shows us. Let's pray.